Welcome to Folio, a Crit Award-nominated actual play podcast about solo and epistolary TTRPGs. I'm your host, Seda, and I'm showcasing multiple possible experiences of self-paced games by inviting guests to play them alongside me so I can compile our stories together. Now, and for the rest of June, you can head over to critawards.org to vote for Folio to win Best Upcoming Podcast, or for me to win Best Tech/Producer. I put a lot of love and labor into editing this show, and it would be really cool to have that recognized with a win. This is episode 3 of Our Games of Furia, a solo journaling game in a dystopian future where creatures of the night adapt to technology to survive by Woshi, who's also the layout artist for the currently crowdfunding print edition of Galactic and Going Rogue. Backing it gets you 2 cool games and supports the work of a bunch of creators in the TTRPG space, including me. The other 2 beautiful undead trawling the neon streets with me are Matt Orr and Alyssa. This is by far the least structured game featured on the show so far, and I am so delighted by our 3 different approaches to it. Matt treats encounters like he's building the prompt for a journal entry that then like fully develops the idea as he writes it. He's probably the most rational in his hesitant approach to rolling dice, given how intentionally failure-heavy the system is. Meanwhile, Alyssa uses most of their roles to determine big picture stuff and then takes a lot of authorship filling in the details to fully draw out this like fantastic story of grief and rage that they're building. Personally, I love to be in trouble, so I'm rolling for everything, and I've simply never had a thought that wouldn't be improved by interfacing with a table. That lack of structure in the game also meant that this series has been way more of a puzzle to put together than some of the more heavily structured games, but it's also been so satisfying, and I really hope that you're enjoying it. And if you are, vote for me and the show and the Crit Awards about it. I don't know. Whatever. And we can, let's rejoin our, heroes? By jacking the fuck in. I disabled the tracker, but they still know where I was last, and it was trapped in a freight elevator. So, I wonder if part of the reason that I was able to do it is because I logged back onto CalamityNet for a sec, and basically, like, was able to use, like, it was a risk, but kind of used the antivirus, anti-malware to help me disable this tracker. Whatever, it doesn't really matter. I managed to do it, finally. And that said, I'm stuck in this freight elevator, and it does start moving up.
I think I've neutralized the vampire threat, the vampire hunters. Like, I've killed 2 of them here in the dark, or in the machine rooms down under the city. I think the others flee. I think I'm also going to add to the scene, because there's no real way to generate money in this game. I think I'm going to search these guys, and I think I'm going to find out. I'm going to get some more credits or equipment or something. I think that'll be interesting. This is not in the rules. I'm making this part up. So that's a total of 15 credits. Roll 2d6 twice. I got a nice little chunk of change. And we'll say that it's some of its equipment that I could pawn or trade, and some of it's their actual, maybe they had credits on them. Although, how do cyber credits work? How do you loot the body for cyber credits in the far future? I don't know. We're not going to worry about it too much.
They're pulling it back up, and they are opening the doors. I'm going to try and do the same maneuver that I pulled before, where I try to just sneak past them using that camouflage. I am going to roll at a disadvantage because, like, they know that I can do that because I did it before. So vigor is 1 plus adapt skin camouflage is 3 plus disadvantage is 2. 2d6. Do I want to spend a fury on this? I'm getting low. That's okay. It's 1 shot. Ride it like you stole it. Down to 2 out of 5. I would like to roll a 3 or a 5 on my 2d6. Holy shit, I rolled 2 fives. Hot damn. I think one of the reasons this works is that, like, there's still some discord between the private security and the, like, actual corporate Hoshi agents. Things are just a little bit hectic enough. Ooh, especially because Trainer was like, somebody fucking stole from my store. And so the private security are like, yes, technically you would be able to pull rank on us. Like, Hoshi called in a security thing that was probably like a need to know basis, like, capture this person, you don't get to know what they did. Which, for that one, the Hoshi agents would be able to be like, hey, stand down, your private security, we're pulling rank here. But because I stole from Trainer, and Trainer knows that, the private security is like, well, we're coincidentally also looking for this person. And so, no, this is our jurisdiction. And I think they're probably like tracking the like camouflage signature or whatever. It doesn't really matter. But like, yeah, they are, the girls are fighting. And I'm saying retroactively, like, I'm going to make this work because they are distracted by fighting with each other. And that's great.
So I think that what happens is that I go home, I get cleaned up, and I go to the club.
I get off the freight elevator. I'm going to do the same thing that I did before, which is roll a location to see kind of like where in the towers I get off.
One of the locations in the Book of Fate is Drip Nightclub.
A place shared by vampires and humans. It belongs to the Calamity Clan. Cool. Okay.
It belongs to the Calamity Clan, but I assume that it acts as a sort of neutral ground that other vampires are allowed there as well. And so I think I go to the club hoping to be able to pick up someone from Clan Sinor and get a little bit of help with my bloody, bullety, holy water issue.
So this isn't actually Drip Nightclub, because that is a separate place. But this is definitely a club. And is it Calamity friendly? I'm gonna roll on that NPC list. A one or a two is Calamity, a three is unaffiliated, a four to six is rival. Is that the weight that I want for this? Yeah. And I'll roll for the clan after and just see what my, if I roll a rival clan, I'll figure out who it is and what my relationship is to them. Unaffiliated. Okay. That is like such a weirdly fascinating result. Okay.
I don't get much information about like who sent them or anything like that. Or do I? I already rolled for the credits, so I made three sets of rolls for this little thing. I think I know what is going to happen tomorrow as well, but I got to write up this log. I think it'll be something Imperius is recounting the story while he picks over the remains of these hunters that he's bested.
I'm going to roll on two tables to just see a little bit more about what this place is. This is a club that is, remember, essentially a mall, a very tall mall. I'm going to roll on an NPC list that has sort of temperaments, peaceful, diplomatic, reactive, violent, dangerous. And I'm going to roll on the threats table, not to actually find a threat, but to sort of just further characterize who it is that owns this club. So first, the temperament. One, peaceful. Okay. And the threat? Corporate military agent. So, a club owned by peaceful corporate military agent. My first thought was it's like a new corporation in town. They're like keeping the peace to try and like slowly stake out territory. The other thing is it could be a very specifically neutral club / maybe restaurant. It's a place where, like, this is a place of there's the retail and commerce. There are a lot of different corporate interests here. I think that what this is, like, truly neutral territory. It is meant for, like, this is where people can come on their break. Corpos can. And yeah, they just, it is owned by, like, a coalition of different corporations, I think what it is what it is. Very carefully balanced to maintain equal powers. And I think it's literally just on this one floor of the mall, right? Like everywhere else is insane, but this particular one is very carefully as neutral as possible. And I think one of the things that is great for me about that is that there will initially be a reaction to like the fact that these Hoshi agents and the private security agents are like doing business on this floor at all is going to be like pretty uncouth. And so that's an advantage for me. And I think it's also like a disadvantage in that my clan, my family, Calamity, isn't specifically corporate. We have a lot of power in the corporate structures because we have a lot of money, but we are, in the end, outside of that system. And so there's distrust there. people aren't going to like that Hoshi and the private agents are like fighting and doing business and bickering with each other. But ultimately, like, they might like me less if they find me. So the other thing here is that because this space is kept neutral through like strict regulation and monitoring, I bet that they have something that can sense my camouflage thing. So the thing that I'm going to do here is I'm going to roll to try and get through the club unseen. What is this club called? Not Drip. Splash. Let's call it Splash. And I think truly it's like a horrendous amalgam of like, it is a club, but it's also just a restaurant where you can get lunch. And like, it's not like during the day it's a restaurant and at the night it's a club. It's just, it's both. And it kind of sucks. but it's also kind of great. And like, it's big enough that you can get far enough away that the music isn't overwhelming. You can still hear it if you're just trying to like eat your sandwich, but it's a pretty terrible place. And that's fine.
Log 007. The Prog File continued. It's been a while since I fed from the source. This isn't synthetic B. No. No, that was the good stuff. Better than a cold one with the lads. That's Chad. Ah, he's fresh in my mind. They were good. But these tunnels and shafts let me get the drop on them, so to say. I got all the Chad there was. The rest. Brian, Wilson, Beth, and Jamie. They took some shots at me. But then I told Brian his wife was cheating with Chad for 3 whole years. I have no reason to keep a dead man's secrets. That made Brian's aim much worse. I tossed the Chad husk at them, and they ran. All of them. I caught up to Jamie, though. She was a fine O flavor. I've never tasted it before. She didn't know any more than Chad did. Seems Wilson is the head of the outfit. He got the job. They all called it a job. Right now, I don't care. I know where they all live. I know their favorite kvass orders. I know the feel of the sheets on Brian's bed. I can follow up later, if I want to. I checked their pockets. No IDs. Hobbyists, but doing it right. Some credits, their guns, some other implants. I can sell it all soon enough. I've left the husks in gentle repose. Maintenance will find them eventually. Now, to see about getting out of here. End log.
The game plan, I think, is to go in looking as normal as possible, which I can mask. That part is fine. I'm used to pain. But I have to identify someone, ideally a doctor, from this other clan, and then I have to convince them to help me without notifying my clan under their noses at a club that is owned by and presumably operated by them. I am going to roll myself an insight for just identifying someone who can help me. And then, unfortunately, I think that it is trauma in order to talk them into it. So we'll make that first roll. Insight is 2. And the number I will call is a 4. I don't think I've had a 4 yet. And I continue to not have a 4. That is a 1 and a 2. So let's see how bad this failure is. Oof, oof, oof. That is a 1 on the failure die. On a 1, you have a critical failure and face harsh punishment.
Coming into today for log 8, I think I'm feeling we're more than halfway through the story for sure. I'm pretty sure of that. I've interacted with almost every single rule in the game and at least once, and it's like a character. So I've introduced like 8, you know, other vampires as characters. So I think it's time to start narrowing down the story and moving sort of to beginning to move to some sort of conclusion. So trying to not introduce any more characters. However, having said that, there's three sort of next plot lines that I'm thinking about. I've introduced the concept of child and sire, but we don't know who Imperius's sire is. So maybe there's like an even more important vampire that we could like go talk to. Also, I'm in the Undercity again, so I think the people that I talked to in the very beginning of the story, I think maybe they come find me. You know, they said they could smell a rat, and maybe they sniff me out. That is, who is that? That is embracing Torino. And then the third plot line is maybe, since I've been asking questions, possibly Charitable Prague comes to me in the first place and finds, like, hey, look, I know you've been asking around, but like, here's the real mystery. And maybe all three of those things happen, but they happen in a very specific order that I haven't thought about yet. So what to do first?
I think it's pretty clear how this goes. I clean myself up. I go to the club. I am feeling great about my ability to mask, my ability to look casual and not like I'm bleeding out and feel acid starting to course through my veins, radiating from my shoulder through my stolen blood through the rest of my body. But I am a little Delulu. So actually, I do not look as hot as I think that I do. And someone from Clan Calamity clocks me. I mean, I don't think it's hard to, like I said. The clan is small and we know each other. And they know that I'm not one for nightclubs normally. Never mind after the loss of Ayla. So I'm easily noticed. And the fact that I'm in pain is easily noticed. And with that comes questions. And with the questions comes a punishment. Bartender or security or whoever it is that notices me takes me to a back room, and I could try to fight it. I could try to leave and run right now, but that would be completely cutting myself off from my clan, and it's still a point of contact with her. While I'm going against their wishes, it's more of an easier to ask forgiveness than permission type situation. It's not a I want to cut myself off from them type of deal. So I let myself be taken and I let myself be questioned. It is not a big elder in the clan, but one of the older vampires, older than me, and I'm like 100, who comes into the room, and I think that they were a friend. This is almost a mercy at first, sending this person to me. We will give them a name. And you know, this was a friend of Ayla. This is someone who is also big into the tech and hacking, and they only go by their sort of net running handle. So this is Silver Oracle. We will say any pronouns for them.
I'm still in the Undercity, so I think I have to meet Embracing and her crew first. So what is that going to look like? Do I do another wager in this situation, or do I just kind of narratively advance things? And then how does that work with my, like, make three skill rolls before I write the log? Let me get out the Book of Fate and see what comes to me.
Oracle comes in and just stares, and then reaches out and pokes right into the bullet wound. And I'm made to be stoic. That's my job. My job is to take punishment, to take pain. But it's a lot right now. Sort of adrenaline has worn off. Blood loss has started to set in. And so I scream and I am unsoothed by this whole interaction. And she just stares me down, waiting for me to talk. And it doesn't take long. I mean, this is a person that I know. It's a person who I know loved Ayla, clearly not as much as me, because they're here at the club instead of out trying to kill vampire hunters. But they loved her enough that they should understand, right? But they don't. Instead, Oracle, he looks disappointed that I would do this, that I would put my own personal feelings. And he tells me, after listening to me spill my guts about where I was and what I was doing and why, and doesn't he understand? And I think I show him the teeth that I pulled from the mouth of Brahm. And he just looks disappointed and a little disgusted with me, not at the violence, but at my short-sightedness and my lack of honor attacking a man in his home, even if, you know, that man was a vampire hunter, and doing it all behind the back of the family. And that's the big thing, isn't it? We are a family and we should be working together, and I shouldn't be bringing shame to them by using underhanded tactics to kill someone for vengeance in a quest that the family itself doesn't agree with. I've been told time and time again since Ayla's death that the Calamity will have its revenge, but it won't be through simple murder. It's going to take longer, and it's going to be structural. It's going to be finding out who hired the vampire hunter and why they were looking for information on the Calamity itself. And after getting every single drop they can out of the vampire hunter, out of who hired them, so on and so forth, spreading their web, using Ayla's sacrifice, if they can, in order to promote the family, then we would have vengeance. But that takes so long and seems so far out, and I just couldn't wait. And so I acted, and now I've acted directly against the orders of my clan, and that merits punishment. And I think that what that means is that they will fix me up, fix the bullet, nullify whatever poison it is that Brahm used against me. But after that, I don't have the freedom that I did, because I clearly can't be trusted to wield it.
I'm looking at the location table again, and I said that I probably wasn't under the gardens. But let's find out where I am under, and I'll find that out from meeting some undercity folk. That came up as desperados again. Do I go with what the die says, or do I change it? No, I think I'm okay. I don't love that, because that's a part of the city I've already been to. So, but I think it's okay. It makes sense that I come back there. You know, the recycling center exits into the stony wasteland, or the rubble-strewn wasteland outside the city. It makes sense.
I started as a shield, as a weapon to be wielded by the Calamity, and I've proven that I'm not worthy right now of having my own autonomy. And so until they can find someone who is able to help direct me, I am grounded. I am to stay in the clan compound with no weapons and no tech, and wait until my head cools and they're able to make use of me again.
I think I'm going to use the NPC table again to generate who I'm not going to meet embracing directly. Here I am again, introducing new characters, but this is just going to be a messenger. Elderly messenger who is also violent. I think that fits. One more thing that I want to know about or do. Well, I think then I will make the wager, because then that really determines whether or not things go well or go poorly. I mean, it doesn't matter because it's two dice, but I think I'm going to roll trauma on this one as a psychological interaction. So it's 2d6. I got to make a wager. I've just rolled a bunch of fives. So it's tempting to roll to claim five. But I'm going to do two. Both twos. Amazing. So I succeed at this wager. which means that I get what I want out of this. So I finally get some answers from, I think, embracing in her colony, coven. I don't know what to call them. I'm going to figure that out, what they call themselves, perhaps. But I think maybe I'm one step closer as Imperius to finding Charitable.
And I think that's as good a place as any for the second log.
I'm going to roll just like I did last time, pretty much. Vigor plus my adapt skin is 3. And I'm going to be at disadvantage because I really do think that they would have things to sense camouflage. I'm going to do 2d6. I'm not going to spend a fury because I'm getting real close to none, which would mean I'd fail quite badly. So I'm going to roll 2d6. I'd like to roll a 6. This club is an amalgam of many different corporate interests, and therefore they would go for the safest possible success and failure, don't you think? So I'd like to roll a 6 on these 2d6. Roll a 2 and a 5. let's roll for failure. 3. Failure, punishing consequence. Yeah.
When I say that I've been restricted from technology, I mean it. And I'm certainly not going to chance a message to this secret Dropbox that I have.
I mean, obviously, they managed to sense the camouflage, right? They have tools for that. And I think the thing that makes this consequence punishing rather than just like a better failure here would be that the club security, the true neutral security, grabs me. The thing that makes this punishing is that it's one of the Hoshi agents. I managed to sneak by. I'm making my way through the club, and there's an agent just like at the door of the club. Oh yeah. Okay, so I actually do make it through the club, and I'm gonna go out the front door. The front door has a thing that turns off my camouflage automatically. Whether you're going in or out, it just shorts it. And there are Hoshi agents in the hall, just back up, you know? And so not only is it one of the Hoshi agents that gets me, I'm outside of the club. It actually would have been better for me to get caught in the club because there are different rules there. but I'm not. I stepped out.
Unlike the other logs, log 2 is simply an audio recording picked up from the apartment where I'm under house arrest. And it's just security footage.
Log 008, the prog file.
Log 002, grounded like a petulant child. Just because what? Because I acted when they wouldn't. Because I loved more than they were willing to. I failed you. I failed you, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I am currently in a private vehicle, so forgive any noise or interruptions. Not a nice vehicle, but functional. After my last log, I was wandering upwards towards street level. I was really feeling fine. Solemn Torino and 3 other women met me on about level 22. Old. Really a group of quite distinguished dames. By then I had worked out that I was on the edge of Desperados again. That makes sense. They wouldn't put all the recycling works under the nice part of Bellonia. Sol slapped me. She said she was from Torino's collective. They all were, but the slap was from embracing herself. They seem to think I've been out here making a mess of things. What things, I asked. They just led me to a converted tram. I was still feeling all topped off, and maybe could have taken them. She's shaking her head at me. Well, I didn't try. We took the tram to somewhere, back toward the city. It was tight for all 4 of us. I think it used to be a package delivery system. I got to speak to Miss Torino again, embracing Torino. And this wasn't in her residence. This was more like a factory, but they were all making reports. Miss Torino, Solemn Torino, called it a newsroom. Someone has to make the vids, but I never gave it any thought. That's daytime stuff. Embracing Torino was unquestioned here. including by me. She asked how I was faring, and I had to admit, not well. She told me she knew all about what I'd been up to for the last 3 days. The fight with Miss Canossus, the visit to Vert, or Mix Abydos. I tried to be very clear that I thought something was going on, but I hadn't seen the whole shape of it yet. The collective was all grave looks and probably silent messages. Now she's nodding. I don't think Calamity needs a king. Hear that? It's in my log now. I don't think Calamity needs a king. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I seem to have passed some kind of test. We finally came up on the streets just after sunset. Noticeable pain from the rosy glow just after sunset. I'm getting a signal to wrap this up. They are taking me to see Miss Prague. End log.
I'm going to roll on the armament table to see what this person is packing to see what kind of danger I'm in. 2, melee weapon. Knives, daggers, swords, nightsticks, simple or with poisoning, thermal shock, and under effects. Yeah.
Time passes, and the calamity is many things. But one thing it's not is inefficient with its resources. And so, eventually, a threat comes that's big enough for them to let me out. And I think I'm going to go ahead and roll on the table for what that threat actually is. Ha! Okay. That is a 5, which means that it is a vampire hunter. I haven't named this big bad vampire hunter yet. Ooh, okay. The vampire hunter is Ferris Reed. Ferris spelled like iron, F-E-R-R-O-U-S. I would say he, they pronouns. So, the threat that comes for the calamity is the vampire hunter. Is Ferris Reed the person who killed my Ayla and did it because they were looking for something? Because as far as we can tell, they wanted some sort of information about the calamity, and we still don't know who hired them. But what we do know now, as I learn from Silver Oracle, as she lets me out of house arrest, hands over some weapons and a communication device and whatever else I need for the upcoming mission. What we do know about Ferris Reed is that he has struck again against us. And this time, the person that he has struck was not quite as loyal. And the way that this has been found out by the family calamity is that one of our safe houses was hit, and one of the vampires who had been staying there was taken. And in their place were the fangs and the tongue of one of the other calamity. Because this one was willing to talk, but words aren't enough to save you from the reckoning that is Ferris and whoever it is that they're working for. And this clear threat and the failure over the past weeks, months, however much time it's been since I was grounded, that's enough to spurn the calamity into action, even without solid intel. And so I am freed and I am brought into the planning.
They see me. I stop. They stop. I'm surprised that we're making eye contact. And they just lunge forward and they press like just a device to my body. And I feel this electric hum. And they don't even need to make the threat out loud. I already know that something is pressed to my body that, like, if they hit a button or whatever, it will just fry all of the cyberware in my body. Which is like, I mean, there's the fangs, but also I'm a hacker. I got stuff in my brain and whatever, you know, like, it might not kill me, but it might, and it will certainly, like, take me out. So I just slowly put my hands up, and,
I'm sitting down to play day 9. I am immediately have a thought about how I want this interaction to go, or at least what meeting with Charitable Prague will be like for Imperius. And I just have to think of, I just have to check the book and see some things that I might want to roll to test this. I kind of want to like keep it secret for their narration because this is a podcast, but I have to talk through the game. So like I think it requires going into the network again. So I'm going to roll on trauma again. That's the hacking capability attribute here. So basically what I'm doing is I think that's where she's been hiding. So I have to match. I have to keep secret, right? Like my interactions, that's what I'm testing. That's what I'm wagering, right? I'm going to spin a fury because I want to give myself an advantage here. And I'm going to go with 2 and 6. Rolling 2d6, I'm looking for a 2 or a 6. I didn't get that at all.
Because I am a blunt instrument and I do need to be reminded of my place. The place in the plan I have is as bait. I don't know the consequences of killing Braum, but the Calamity certainly do. And it's not that it's being kept from me, but knowing isn't important right now. What matters is that I'm being punished for it. And so, hoping that Ferris is moved by revenge, even a fraction as much as I am, the Calamity decides that I will get to play bait and try to lure him out so that another team of vampires, of hired muscle, of members of an enemy clan, even. I think that someone in the Calamity has ties to a member of what has to be the Carcass, and there are a few of them as well in the room while we're listening to the plan, as it were. I play bait and I lure out the vampire hunter, and then they all attack. And I mean, presumably I'm not attacking because in this scenario I'm dead in their best laid plans, but that isn't what's going to happen.
How bad will the failure be? 5. I've never rolled a 5 before. Tolerable failure. No consequences. The crew here, the collective, the Torino collective that I'm with, will be backing me up. I think this is some high-level, nested, shell game, hiding in the network stuff, and got an assist here. So even though I make a mistake, there's going to be no consequences. Okay, I'm going to roll on events and kind of be inspired. Let's see what I get. 6. See, this is very appropriate, I feel, because what I've rolled was you're about to commit a betrayal, which makes a lot of sense. Because I think the way this is set up, I've got factions, right? So, like, I'm about to switch. I think Imperius is about to switch factions. That's kind of been where this is leading, although he doesn't really know what's happening. So I think I need to find one more thing to kind of help explain what's happening.
We figure out where to lay out this trap, and I will roll on the locations. And it is back to the start. That is a 6 again for the gardens. And so I've never been poetic. That wasn't even Ayla's domain. It was just not a part of our relationship. But there's something about the thought of luring this man out into the place where Braum died, the place where he, Ferris, failed to protect his apprentice, and the place that's caused me so much pain too in the aftermath. And I suggest that to the Calamity, to the gathered people plotting to catch this vampire hunter. And surprisingly, they agree. I think part of the damage control for my attack was a bit of, you know, advantage-free, a small donation, let's say, to the building management of that apartment complex that I broke into. But in addition to the free money, they also bought up at least one unit in the building. And so I have full access this time to get where I need to get, though I'm warned, of course, that security is going to be a little tighter. You don't murder someone in a luxury residence and have no impact, especially when the residents can see the broken window, can see the ways in which their building management failed them, and they have the capital and the pull to make a stink about it.
Looking at the cyberwares table, I got some more money when I was in the Undercity, so I could actually afford some of these other things now. The cheapest thing, or the most expensive thing I can afford with my 20 credits, is something that costs 20 credits, a Venom Bug Espionage Droid. 360 camera, night vision, omnidirectional microphone. I could get that, but I don't know what I need that. But maybe that's the ask, right? That I have to go back to the Praetor with the espionage droid, get some details. I don't love this as a plot point necessarily, but I think it makes a lot of sense based on what I've set up so far and what I've read or what I've rolled. So, all right, I'm gonna write something up and we'll see how this all these details come together.
This has been Folio, an actual play podcast about solo and otherwise self-paced TTRPGs. As you're filling out your Crit Awards ballot this month, I would deeply appreciate a vote for Folio as Best Upcoming Podcast and Seda, that's me, for Best Tech/Producer. Otherwise, to find where you can find the show, check out foliopod.card.co, sign up as a paid member at patreon.com/foliopod to vote on games, get early access to the bonus feed with edited audio-only versions of live streams a little while after they happen, occasional other stuff, or join as a free member to get slightly delayed access to the bonus feed. You can follow Matt Orr on Instagram at Wet Ink Games or check out all things Wet Ink at wetinkgames.com. You can follow Alyssa on Blue Sky at adisasterqueer.bsky.social and find their games at adisasterqueer.itch.io. 4 days after every episode of this series, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, they're running Sooth Wardens, a two-player game about big feelings and big monsters at twitch.tv/gamemastermonday. You can follow Seda, the aforementioned me, on Blue Sky at PosedaChips.GayGothVibes.online and check out my work at GayGothVibes.online. Next week, Matt and Alyssa and I will continue our games of Furia by Woshi, the layout artist for the currently crowdfunding print edition of Galactic and Going Rogue. Everything I mentioned here is linked in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening, and take care out there.